Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm so excited with my guest today. You're going to be thrilled. Today we have Bunny Sigler, Mr. Emotion. Bunny is a legendary writer, producer, and recording artist. Walter Bunny Sigler has been in the music business for over four decades. As a four-time Grammy Award winner and nominee with more than 35 million units sold, Bunny continues to awe his audience with his classic sound. Welcome, Bunny. How are you today?
Just fine, Joanne. I'm so glad to say a late Happy New Year to you.
Yeah,
and
well,
all
Happy
you,
New
all
Year
of your
to
listeners.
You. That's right. It's going to be a terrific year for everybody. Now, I'm wanting to talk about, I know that you were born in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Correct.
And, so I want to know, what was it like for you growing up? And also, how long have you wanted to be in the music business? Did you start out growing up wanting to be in the music business, or how did it happen for you?
Well, my memories as a child was singing. When I was little, I just sang. I walked around the neighborhood singing. And the neighborhood I lived in was all different ethnicities of people. And I would go around and just sing for them. And, you know, in fact, they had to tell me to leave. I'd sing, okay, we got enough. And go to the next people. But I just loved to sing. They used to take me to different churches, and I sang in the churches.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had a love of music.
Love the music. Did you start out singing in church?
Well, it was like a Methodist church. It wasn't like the real funky churches. It was, I was singing,
uh-huh.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I am awesome, when I, at the cross, where I first
saw the light. Yeah.
Then I got the soul later on.
Yeah. So what, you went to school in Philadelphia, and did you have dreams of becoming a singer when you were in school?
I remember when I was 10 years old, I stood in the middle of my street, and I looked west. I didn't know that was west, but I know I looked up the street, and I said, well,
uh-huh.
I have been singing all my life. I said, well, this is what I know I'm going to do all my life. And when I was in school,
wow.
They had so many different musical people there. I was in a glee club, and then I was in, this man played, he was the Italian, and he played like it was like a banjo. It wasn't a banjo, it was like a, there's a little funny sounding guitar, but I played the guitar
right.
with him, and I sang, and they had me, they taught me the song before they taught them to the glee club, so they gave me a chance to really get used to popular songs that I would have probably never listened to, but I
wow.
learned those as I went along, so, and I remember I always had a strong voice. I know that when I was real young, we recorded Oh Holy Night, and I was in the back of the choir, but you could hear me over the choir. And
wow.
at that time, when they cut something, you couldn't cut it over. They had to go with what they cut. A lot of people had machines where they could cut vinyl records back in those days. And
oh, really?
My voice was so loud, you could hear me over the whole choir. The teacher was mad at first, but then later on when I started singing, she was happy to have it.
Aww. That's funny. And so how did your parents, I mean, did they encourage you or, you know, how were they with your singing? Or did you sing in the house to your parents?
Well, there was eight of us, five boys and three girls, and all my brothers played
what?
Piano. The one great thing,
oh,
we had a piano in the house. And all of my brothers played the piano. And at times, we would all get together in the house and sing. And that was such a beautiful thing. We'd all be singing gospel songs and just singing, period. And each one of his brothers played differently. My one brother played like Liberace, and my other brother, you ever heard of Dinah Washington?
Yes, of course. Oh, yeah.
My brother worked with, he played with Dinah Washington. So he played jazz.
Really?
And, in fact, back in the day, the first Tonight Show was Steve Allen. He was on that show with her, on the Steve Allen show, which was the first Tonight Show. Yeah, they have it in the archives. And then I have my other brother. He was more like a football player. And the other brother was, he was an artist, but he wrote songs. He wrote real contemporary, crazy songs, but we all sang. My brother played football.
Very creative.
He used to sing. He used to sing Fats Waller while he had me clean up his work.
But I still
heard music. Music was in my ear all the time.
All the time.
And I remember the first time I heard a love song. I think it was the still of the night. I heard that and it seemed like my heart. I was in love. I didn't know. I fell in love. I guess I was in love with the music.
With the music. Oh, that's right. Wow.
So I remember looking out the window and listening to that music, and I was gone.
Wow. And so what did it feel like? I mean, the first time that you got on a stage and started, you know, doing your craft, I mean, singing to people, what did that feel like to you?
Well, all my life, even as a little boy, I was always in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
As a little kid, the people took me around to different churches to sing.
Yeah.
So I was always in front of people, so there was never that fear. You know, if it was gone. By the time I was 10, I was like a veteran being in front of people singing. And it was, and in my school, I lived down about a block from the school. So if one of the kids had a problem and they were taken to the principal's office, she called me out of class. Tell Bunny to go home and get his guitar. I said, oh, God. She sent me home to get my guitar and have me sing for the family. Let the mother know what a good kid is. And that was me.
Oh, wow.
So I'd sing for the family. And I remember she was trying to get me to get Harry Belafonte to hear me when I was real young, but it never happened.
Really?
Because I sang everything. Country and Western, Hawaiian songs, contemporary, R&B, whatever they wanted. I even did the James Cagney, "You Dirty Rat, You Got My Brother." Mm-hmm.
You know what I find so amazing talking to you is you pretty much are doing what it is that you wanted to do, you know, as a child. I mean, some people go through a lot of different careers, and then finally they get to the career that they really want to be in, but it just happened to you, blessed, right?
Well, you know what, there was, the music is, it was a great thing, but I was a good baseball, basketball, and not bragging, I was an excellent swimmer. A teacher wanted me to try to go to the Olympics or something. But one thing, when you hear, you know, when I sang at church, when you hear those girls scream, is that's it.
Nothing like it, huh?
Oh, when I heard that, I said, hey, this is it. This is what I used to have a group. And the reason I went by myself, you ever heard of the Dixie Hummingbirds?
Yes, of course. Yep.
Well, I was in one room with my group singing, and they were in the other room. And I came out, and I heard them singing, and I knew that my group was light years behind them. You know, we weren't going to get near those guys. And they were young at that time, and they were singing. So that's when I went on my own. And it's just been And then when I think back, it's all of my stuff has been about music. I didn't know I was going to be a writer at the time, but I was just singing. And the first song I ever made was a song called Promise Me. It was a disc jockey who was on a radio station in Philadelphia, WDAS, named Cannonball. And I remember when he came to my street, I lived on a little street, and all the people knew him, and it was like a movie. He come in my house, and the word spread around the neighborhood, Cannonball, come to sign Bunny. Everybody was in my window, looking in the window in the house, a crowd of people. And I remember my mother would wake me up in the morning for school, and she would call me Bunny. She said, get up, Promise Me, it's time to go to school, you know.
Wow.
But it was. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask you. Now, I love Bunny. How did you become Bunny? The name Bunny. Is this the name your mom gave you?
I was born the day before Easter with a tooth, with a fully grown tooth. I just saw a girl on television born with two teeth. I was born with a tooth.
What? Wow.
I'm the seventh child born with a tooth.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And they said they heard me, which I never heard of. They heard me crying in my mother's stomach. I never heard of such a thing.
You're kidding.
And my grandmother, you know, like some of the old people, you know, from down south, they got these old religions and stuff. She said, oh, he's evil. You shouldn't do that. And when I was born, she had me with her all the time. She loved me more than anybody.
Wow.
I remember when she was arguing with my father one time.
Uh-huh.
She said, this is my boy. I didn't know. They just tell me all this. It was a great sign. And I went through, like, my mother died when she was 80. I was 50 years old, and my mother never heard me say a cuss word. And I was, you know, even if I hit my toe, I was glad that never happened, you know.
Right.
But my mother was the kind of person, she'd be in church, and she'd stand up and just start singing, you know.
Really?
And one thing about those musicians in the church, a musician in the church has to be able to catch you no matter what key you're singing. You know,
That's right.
And my mother used to book me in churches to sing, and I would go and sing what she said I would sing it.
Wow, that's amazing! It's you know, you have such an amazing, amazing career that is you know, just off the charts. So, let's say, for example, people are listening. Let's say someone had a bunch of children, didn't start out life as, you know, what they do as early as you have. They're in their 30s right now, and they're like, oh, God, I should have been a singer. You think it's too late for them?
If they got the time to dedicate it to it, because it's never too late, because a lot of people, you know, it's according to how much heart you want to put into it. Because I tell people to sing is something, you know, you got to be lucky. You got to be lucky. So even if a person is 30 or whatever, go someplace. Where they, the one thing you can be discovered in little clubs where people are singing. You build up a reputation. There's no telling, if you're that good, there's no telling who'll be in a club if you go in there. They got karaoke everywhere. You know?
That's true. That's right.
And I'll sing on the corner to somebody. You know, right now, I have people stop me in the supermarket. The lady says, Bunny, I saw you on this TVN singing this song. Sing for my friends here. Sing. And I have to sing for them in the supermarket line. And people look in there.
Really?
And I would sing for them. So a person that wants to sing, don't give up, you know, because you're going to get older. And I meet people that it said the same thing that you're saying. You know, I should sing, or what should I do? A lot of
right.
them come to me for help, you know, and I can't, you know, you can't save the world. All I can do is give them, I tell people, you know, if you want to learn how to sing, join a choir, a church choir, because church choirs have a conductor who will show you how to sing, you know.
That's
and
right.
show you how to pronounce your words and mm-hmm. and all that stuff. And if you're good, then they'll push you to the front. And then
That's
you
right.
go from there. Singing,
the
same thing the guys, what's that thing they say the guy said, how you get to Carnegie Hall, you practice. So
right.
if you want to sing, sing every day. You know, everybody got these phones now that they can record video, you can record yourself singing.
That's right.
You know, record
That's
yourself
right.
singing and listen to it back. Record yourself mm-hmm. for 10 days and then check on that 10th day and see that you sound better than when you recorded the same song the first day. You know, like with
right.
me, I'm still learning how to sing. I just, in fact, I was looking at, I don't know too much about computers and stuff, I bought a laptop, and it has all these different singers on it. I was able to look at, watch Sam Cooke for a lot of days. And just watching him, I just worked on a new album, and whatever I did in that, whatever I saw from him brought a better point of me singing than I had before. So I'm still
really?
Learning. Yes.
Yeah,
I'm still, and
yeah.
I saw it when I performed live. I do. I was at the Kimball Center for the Wounded Warriors in Philadelphia, December 5th, and
okay.
I had sang
right.
I sang the national anthem with just a piano player, and it was
wow.
It was really beautiful. I was in this big place,
wow.
and the sound system, and there was nothing but my voice and the piano, and it was just soaring. And I have
wow.
a new thing that I'm doing with singing now. So when you see, when someone sees me or hear me, I'm still improving on what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's, and that's something that I guess people who, young people who are looking to sing, you always can improve. I think that's a good message for them as well.
And what's good if they play an instrument, if you play a piano or a guitar. A lot of people can't play anything. You might know a friend that can play. But like with me,
right.
I hear the music in my head. I can get out there and sing a song like, when somebody loves you, it's no good unless she loves you all the way, which I can hear the music.
Beautiful, yeah.
You know, you make me want to shout. You know, I can go up in that too.
Yeah.
I'm back in the saddle again. I can go country, funk, to jazz.
Wow.
So my whole
wow.
life is just full. One thing I want to tell people about those that write, I used to, you ever heard of people playing piano bars where they just have a piano and somebody just sitting
yes.
around singing and people sitting? I did that for like maybe 3 or 4 years, and
oh,
one
really?
Thing I didn't I would learn songs I would sing songs, but I didn't know all the words. So what I would do is make up my own words. Most people only
uh-huh.
know the hook of a song; they know the main part, and then you could say
uh-huh.
anything else. They don't know that part anyway, you know. So
right.
I did that. So when I started writing songs, I was already used to making up words to songs. So that's how I got to start writing, period. Most
wow.
of my stuff is written on the piano, 90%, mm-hmm. and some things are written on the guitar with the guitar.
Okay. So you think it's a, all right, so it's a great idea that if you are a singer, that you should also learn how to write, right? You should also learn how to produce. Basically, learn how to do everything that it would take you as an entertainer to do. right? Or you think?
Well, one thing, everybody can't be a producer. Everybody can't be a writer, but some can.
Okay.
And the way you become that is be aware of what's happening around you. And I recorded several songs, and I never knew what was happening in the background before I became a writer, because I was, when I did the song "Come On Baby, Let the Good Time Roll," I still hadn't been in the back with the musicians, with the engineers. I'm always out front in the studio, so I didn't know what went on in the background. So, some people can learn how to produce. They got to be truthful with themselves, you know. A lot of people will tell you things, this and that, but you have to be truthful with what you hear. That's what I said about being able to record yourself and hear yourself back. You know, I had a habit of, if I sing a song and I make a mistake and I hear that mistake, the next time I get to that point, I won't make that mistake no more.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
how I've played it in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Now, one thing that we didn't talk about, which is obvious, Bunny, is you have to have some talent. You are very talented.
That's what I said, be blessed.
Yeah.
A lot of people want to sing, but they can't sing. You
right.
know?
And,
Well, I never watch it. I come upstairs and watch basketball, you know. There's some people that are really great people. I remember Curtis Mayfield. I was with him in Atlanta, and he had me recording an artist. And I remember I went to a club or something, and there was a kid there who could sing rings around the guy I was recording, but I wasn't paid to do him, and I couldn't help him. So there's a lot of people out there who haven't been discovered yet who can really sing. You know,
true.
I knew a kid that sang, you know, and one thing kids go through when they're young, like the boys' choir, they have these
right.
real high voices. I know this kid had a great voice, and then he turned 18 and his voice changed and he almost went crazy.
Oh boy!
You know,
so that happens.
Yes.
Wow.
You know, that's why, you know, with me, I've been lucky. I did a song called "Girl Don't Make Me Wait," which is a real high song.
Yes.
And I did that in 1968, and I can still sing in that same key.
You're kidding!
And
wow.
Yeah, and I do opera. Singing out, Jesus trate organia hermosa te patoa. I do that.
Beautiful.
I did in Paris.
Beautiful.
I did. Uh-huh. I did. How many? In five days, I did four opera houses. You know,
wow.
And,
5 days.
Different ones, and it was really doing opera. You have to hit those notes. There ain't no, you know.
Uh-huh.
You have to do it.
You do.
And I've been doing that since 04.
I'm not amazed, because you are an amazing person. But talent, talent, talent. And blessed. I mean, you're like one of those people who were lucky enough to maintain your voice, to be talented enough to be a writer and a producer and a recording artist, and it's your career is just and still going on. I think that is fabulous.
Well, when I work with an artist, it's like I'm teaching them. I always tell them. Somebody said, "Well, can you teach me?" I said, well, if I produce you, then I can teach you a song. I've had people, once I sang a song, they didn't want to record it because they couldn't sing it like me. I just wanted to let them know how to make the song great. I wish somebody did that for me back in the day. You know, I just want to show them and I give them everything I got. But like I'm saying, I've been blessed to love all music and to be. I used to in my act. I used to be in the club, in the nightclubs all over the country. When the, you know, the singers had their music and they put out their music and all that. And I used to do a song, Alone at Last. I used to make believe I was doing opera. And when I got a chance to do it, I had already been practicing, and I was ready for it. And I've been in Venice, Trieste, Reggio Emilia, Rome, Vienna, Austria, Dusseldorf, Essence, Germany, and Paris, and Stanford College, and doing Othello.
And
we were nominated for, we were nominated for a crossover opera. The year when the guy had a fight with Brianna, we were at that. We were at the Grammys that time. We were nominated. We didn't win, but we were nominated for a crossover for Othello syndrome.
Beautiful. That is beautiful. And I see here. Okay, so. Bunny performed at Atlantic City's Ambassador Hotel. Independent producers John Madera and Dave White signed. Was that your first signing?
No, I was signed before to, like I said, when I first started singing, and I put out some different records and on different labels. And I cut one record. I forgot what I had a song called Comparatively Speaking, There's No Comparison. And I hate to say, I hate that song. And I was going to England.
Yeah.
Comparatively Speaking, There's No Comparison. Uh-huh. You're like a Cadillac next to a Chevrolet. It was a crazy song. But it was a top song in England. I was in Manchester, England, Thanksgiving a year ago. And they had that as one of the songs they wanted me to sing. And I took it out. And the man called me back. He said, no, you can't take that out. That's one of your biggest songs over here. So I put it back in the show. But, John, at the Ambassador Hotel, that's when I was playing the piano. I was playing the piano, and the people could walk along the boardwalk and hear me. And that's what I said about people going someplace and singing, somebody would hear you. And John Madera, actually Leon Huff heard me at a club in Philadelphia called the Red Hill Inn, where Mel Torme usually worked. He used to have jazz artists, and I was there. And I had already had a reputation in Philadelphia, so Leon Huff brought me to Madera and White, and that's when we got the Let the Good Time Roll.
Wow.
And that was a B-side.
Uh-huh.
That wasn't even supposed to be the A-side, but that became the A-side.
Wow. And I see that The Ruler's Back, which was an opening song for Jay-Z's album. I mean,
Blueprint, Jay-Z,
so
50 Cent, Ski Mask, Dilemma on Nelly and Kelly Rowland. That went like 8 times platinum. Ghetto Music on Outkast. Neo, I Don't Get Down Like That.
And the
love songs on the OJs and Patti LaBelle. And another song, Instant Funk, I Got My Mind Made Up. Come on, come on.
Yes.
You can get it, girl.
I love it. I love it. And you know what? I love talking to you, Bunny Siegler, Mr. Emotion. Our time is up. We had 30 minutes, but I wish we could go on and on and on. What a career, and still going strong, which I think is absolutely fantastic. You are such an inspiration, and you've inspired us so today, especially me. I'm like, wow.
Can I tell you, the title of my new single? When the wind starts to blow and the clouds look like we're gonna have snow, I think of you. And it's a really a different type of song for me, because I think about alpha butter and toast, and that makes me think about my loved one the most.
Wow.
And we're coming out for
Valentine's Day. But I love that.
Love song.
Absolutely.
It's a love song, and we're coming out. I wish we had more time. I always enjoy talking with you.
Well, listen, I would like you to come on again. I'm sure that, everybody will absolutely love it. So please come on again so we can continue talking. That would be just fantastic. But thank you so much for coming today. Yeah, this was a treat. Such a great treat, Mr. Emotion.
Maybe the next time you can have the people give you some questions for me to answer. I think I answered
that. That'll be great. Okay. Oh, I will definitely do that. And we'll play music, too. We'll play music. We'll play your music as well. So, all right. Well, take care. God bless. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you, dear.
Take care. All right. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to Mathis Media Hub Radio. That was Bunny Siegler. Fantastic guy. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. This has been a Mathis Media Hub production.